Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April the 20th, 2014. So happy Easter to everyone out there. I hope everyone's getting their eggs and you praise the Lord and recognize that Easter is more than just what man have told us. So let's get out there and enjoy ourselves today. On the line with me, I have Carl Goober, who is an experienced marathon runner, and also he is the author of Running for Their Life. So this should be interesting for all you fitness gurus out there who love to stay in shape. I brought just the right person just for you. So how are you doing today, Carl?
Oh, I'm doing great. As I mentioned to you before we got on the air here, I got to go out for my Easter morning run, and it's just a perfect spring day, and just loving it. So thanks for having me on the show today. I'm grateful.
Well, you're so welcome. I thank you for taking out time on a holiday like this. I know this is mostly the rest day for most people. Most people probably end up doing an Easter dinner. I didn't do one. I was thinking of doing it, but hey, I need a break. I can't keep up with all these holidays.
you're absolutely right. So enjoy yourself.
Okay, and that's what I told my daughters. I said, well, look here. I said, I don't want to disappoint you, but mommy needs rest sometimes. I don't try to... The thing about it with me, Carl, I always try to explain to them because I don't want them to always depend on that factor. When you start them off with certain things, that's what they always depend on. So I will let them know automatically if I can't do something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And they'll teach them. Maybe they'll cook for you one time, huh?
Yeah. Because before we even get started, it reminds me of what my coworker had told me. She said that her sister's children always depend on her buying them name brand items. So one day I think that she wasn't able to do that, and one of her children went out and was stealing. And that's why I don't want to start them off with things like that. You know, you don't start them off on that legacy, okay, this is what we always have to do. I have to be committed to doing that, because then when they hold you to it, then that's what they're going to actually want. So I will let them know, hey, if I can't do it, I just won't be able to do it. And mm-hmm. you can have your little, yeah. But anyhow.
One of those life learning lessons.
Yeah. It is. It's a life learning lesson. And also, when you get older and you get a job, then you'll be able to take on that responsibility, and you can do that. But be responsible about it. Don't just go out there and blow your money. I think that's what happened to me. My mother couldn't do it, and then when I got a job, I thought, oh, now I can do it. I can go out there and buy stuff, and now I'm realizing it's not that simple. You don't get foolish with your money, and then you end up in debt, so... I mean, I'm not in debt, but my credit's not good either. Anyhow, like I said, we have an experienced marathon runner for all my fitness gurus out there. So let's give our warm welcome to Carl. Now, Carl, find your book very interesting, your book, Running for Their Life. It's all about mainly you doing all these different marathons. And that's what I want to ask, too. When you're doing a marathon, how long do they usually last?
Well, first of all, you know, that's an excellent question because, you know, having been around running both professionally and just as a hobby for so many years, I've realized that a lot of people don't understand that a marathon is one distance. It's 26.2 miles, you know, and people tell me they ran a marathon. I find out they ran a 5K, which is 3.1 miles. So if you run a marathon, it's not a half marathon, it's a marathon. And what I did, I ran 52 marathons in 52 weeks back in 1996 and 97 to raise money and awareness for leukemia research. So for me, How long is a marathon as far as time-wise? Well, for me at that time, it usually took me 4 hours to 4 hours and 15 minutes to run it, depending on the conditions, how tired I was, if the course is hilly or not. But it was an amazing year. I have people tell me that I was crazy to do that, but I always say crazy for a good reason, because I knew a little boy back in 1995 who was 5 years old, and he died from leukemia, and I just got this idea of running 26.2 miles once a week for a year to raise money and see if I could help make the world a better place, and so that's where I was with that one.
And there's nothing crazy about that at all if that's something that you're dedicated and you find the courage to want to do that. I don't see nothing wrong with that at all. You know, it's crazy that some people sit here and be picking up all this weight, and then you hear them complain, oh, I want to lose weight. Well, you can't lose weight trying to keep eating junk food. And I turn around and you steal stuff in your mouth. That's not how it works.
So yeah.
That's what's crazy. It's crazy that we got these children who are obese, and that they keep looking at these commercials instead of telling them no, because I don't mind. No, you're not getting that candy. No, you're not eating the junk food. And the media, like I said, it don't make it any better for our society. And I think they have a movie coming out very soon in May it's going to be called Fed Up. It's more like a documentary. And I think they said by 2015, it's going to be probably one-third of most of these Americans who are going to have diabetes. Obese, and it's just really ridiculous that we're not trying to teach our children the right thing. I do my best, but I try to get my – but see, the thing is I have to get my husband on the right track too. He likes to still sneak his goodies in.
Well, you know, here's the bottom line with this. You know, this will never change. If you want to lose weight, you have to burn more calories than you bring in. Now – you know, I'm about a million years old, and I just went and bought a pair of new jeans a couple weeks ago, and as I was checking out, I realized that I was buying the exact same size that I wore in high school. And it comes from you know, my running and my exercising. I do some triathlons, but you know, I love to eat. I enjoy a good solid beer or a glass of wine, and you know, if I eat an entire large pizza, I don't do it every day, and I do it with a purpose, knowing that it's fuel for my 20-mile run the next day. I don't eat red meat, but I do eat fish and fowl, and again, if I eat something stupid, you know, I don't do it every day, and then I burn off the calories the next day. And people who strictly just people who just diet and don't combine it with exercise will almost always gain back the weight they lost, because you have to integrate that exercise along with a good diet in order to burn off those calories.
Yeah, that's what I was told. You got to put, if you're going to eat healthy, you got to tie it in with the workout. They both got to go hand in hand. And then you made a good point, too, where you still like to have a good beer, but you don't make it a habit. You do it in moderation, because sometimes I get guilty if I even think about a burger. And I'm like, dang, I want a burger. But then people are like, you just eat in moderation techniques. You don't just go and just eat it every day. And that's exactly it, because I got a taste for one right now of while I'm talking about it. I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be like,
at least you have a good idea about what you need to do, you know, and you're right about Americans watching television and seeing all the enticing commercials and everything, but you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt and understand that you're in control of your diet, not that television commercial or the media influencing you. Well, you need to go right now to the local fast food store and get this sandwich right now.
But that's what their job is. They're not advertising for you to be healthy. That's not what they're trying to do. There's nothing good about those commercials whatsoever. And then you still have to be careful about the ones that say, oh, this is healthy for you. And the only thing, like my other guest and I had talked about once before, you just have to do your own research and use your own common sense. That's basically what it is. But, Carl, I wanted to ask,
What made you actually get onto this path of running, though?
Well, you know, let's look at that. Yeah, absolutely. A long time ago, back, I guess it was around 1980, I was a wild and crazy disc jockey on the radio. For 20 years, I was in radio as a DJ and a production director. And I was doing the all-night show for about 3 years at a radio station. And I'm a day person, and it just completely threw me off with my biorhythms and my eating habits and everything. And I would come home at 7 in the morning and drink beer and eat spaghetti and go to bed, you know. And I started to gain a few pounds, and I was getting out of shape. And fortunately, I had a couple really good friends who had picked up running, and I said, well, you know, hey, maybe I can go run with them. I had played tennis for many years, and so I did have some athletic background. And so I just started running way back then and never looked back. And now I've completed a total of 78 marathons and 2 half Ironman triathlons. And I've just integrated it into my daily lifestyle. I get up, I have my coffee, I do my morning meditation, and I go out for a run, you know.
Do you feel that it becomes addictive? Because I heard one of my friends say that once you start running, it's just, Like you need a cup of coffee. It just becomes a part of you.
Well, absolutely. Addictive in a good way, because when you see the results, if you see the results of your overall well-being and health, then and then, again, part of the habit, you have to integrate it so that it is as much a part of your day as if a guy got up and he has to shave in the morning, you know, or if you have to get up and you take a shower before you go to work. It's just a part of your day, and it really creates such a great sense of well-being.
Now, when you get ready to do these marathons, what type of preparation do you have to go through or to start?
Well, you have to teach your body how to deal with the longer and longer and longer distances. You know, I've coached a number of runners over the years, and after work, I worked for a long time in running retail specialty. So many people who want to start running, you know, the biggest issue they deal with is wanting to do too much too soon. And, you know, I'll have somebody who's maybe 50 pounds overweight, and they started running, and which is awesome, but they set a goal too high too soon. Okay, in 4 or 5 months, I'm going to run a half marathon, which is 13.1 miles, and they'll probably do it, but they will have a bad experience because they ramped up their distance and their training too quick, and they're more likely to be injured. They're not having as much fun because it's too hard. They'll come across that finish line and say, I did it, and go back to that sedentary lifestyle and regain the weight. And the real key is a long, slow, progressive training, as slowly increasing your amount of miles and time and distance over many, many weeks and months, and allowing your body to adapt and understand so that when you do decide to take on a 26.2-mile marathon challenge, when you're at mile 23 in the race, your body is not saying to you, what the heck are you doing? Where are we? What's going on here? Are you trying to kill me? Because your body's been there before in training, now your body's going, hey, okay, this is cool. We've done this. We can do this. Okay, where's the finish line?
But I say when people are like that, they should get a personal trainer. When you think, Carl, because a young lady wanted to work out with me, and she's at a certain size, and any farther she can be obese because she already has diabetes and every other probably any other condition that we can name of. But she wanted to work out with me, and see, I do P90X, but I was telling other people I don't prefer for someone to really work out with me, especially not at that weight level, because your body has to. Right. We don't want to start you off on an extreme workout and then you pass out on me. Because I want
exactly.
CPR. I don't need you passing out.
But that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm not the right person for that. You really need a person trying to, who's going to stick to you, who will tell you what you really need to eat to burn them carbs. Because, see, now your mind has to, it kind of, to me, when you're doing that, it has to play a trick on you, where you don't always think that you're hungry every 5 minutes. You need that snack. Because you're supposed to eat between 2 to 3 hours. And see, that's the problem if you're used to doing every 5 minutes or a second, just wanting to get up and snack. So that's why I said I would prefer a personal trainer if somebody's in that boat.
Well, I think that's a good point, you know, and I'm glad you also mentioned other exercise forms other than running, because, you know, you can do P90X, you can be a fitness walker, you can be in the gym lifting weights. And it is a good idea to get a personal trainer. If you do decide to run, there are many, many running groups, whether attached to your charity or independent groups, in every major metropolitan area in the United States and throughout the world, really. So once you do get a coach or a personal trainer, they can guide you to do the things correctly so that you're not injured, and you are having more fun and your body adapts quicker. But, yeah, absolutely. That is a great point.
Plenty of books before starting this marathon?
I'm an avid reader anyway. And you know, I have run for a number of years before I even considered taking off and doing the 52 marathons in a year in 96, 97, which I became the ninth man in the world ever to accomplish that. But since I've done it, many, many other people, men and women, have accomplished it. But, yeah, there's plenty of books out there. I drew more inspiration from people like Terry Fox, who's considered one of the greatest national Canadian heroes. In 1980, Terry ran across two-thirds of Canada, and he did it on one leg and one fake leg. He had a leg amputated off because of cancer, and he ran, this is 1980, before hardly anybody ever considered doing anything gargantuan like this running-wise. And he unfortunately died from recurring cancer two-thirds of the way, and here we are. You know, that was 1980. Here we are in 2014, and Terry Fox is still considered one of the greatest national Canadian heroes, and I drew inspiration from people like him, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, if Terry Fox can do that on one leg, what can I accomplish on two healthy legs, you know?
Right. Now, at the time when you were doing the 52 marathons, did you have a trainer at all?
I did not. No, I was knowledgeable about running and what I needed to do, so I was my own trainer. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, see, that's powerful. You have to stay focused, because a lot of people say, oh, I can't do that by myself. I have to have somebody. And that's good, because that's a strong will that you did it all by yourself while somebody actually had to push you. And that's how I feel when I worked out. I have to push myself, because unfortunately in my household, my husband claims that he works out, but that's another story called. Yeah, because he'll make it look like he works out. I have to push myself to work out.
And you know what you're talking about there? Well, what you're talking about there, that push, see, you're talking about mental power. And in my case, and any other person who takes on, has set themselves a big goal, whether it's physically or whatever, you know, once you commit to your achieving your goal, and especially once you announce it to the world and you say, hey, everybody, I'm going to run a marathon a week for a year, and they're going, yeah, right, sure. You know, then the determination kicks in. You know, damn it, I'm going to do this. I am going to do this. I'm going to do this, you know, and that motivates you to get out there and accomplish it. And it really, that mental part, you know, you have to remember, I am a certified law of attraction life coach right now, and that's part of what I do is integrating that mental aspect of helping people to understand that our thoughts are real things, very real energy, and our mind controls our body. And that's where your willpower and your drive and determination comes from. You know, your body doesn't control your mind. Your mind controls your body. And that is a real key when you come to understand the power, the true power, the very real power of your own thoughts.
That's right. Because it's all about the subconscious part of your mind to me. And speaking of that, because, well, before I get into the law of attraction, I want to also ask, what damage, did you incur any damages while running?
Well, and again, a good question, and so that goes right back to the mental power. Before I started, and this is even before I knew about the law of attraction, I just made this decision. Before I even started my first step of my first marathon that year, I said, injury is not an option. Injury is not an option. Injury is not an option. I kept repeating that for 52 straight weeks, and I did not have any injuries. I got my bumps and bruises and aches and pains, and darn it, I kept going because I decided, and again, our thoughts have very real power, and my mind told my body injury is not an option, and I was not injured.
Wow. Because I know most of the time people, the main thing it can affect is the heart, but that's really good, Carl. I'm happy. I am. I'm happy for you because you going through it and you're still doing it and you have not given up. So that's really good. Now,
I'll never give it up.
Now, because you do this for the leukemia research study, in what ways did your radio show help raise money for the research?
Well, you know, that was fortunate in that way. Being a locally known air personality in here in Ohio in the market I'm in, that was a nice little platform. Well, hey, folks, you know, I'm taking off for a year to run all those marathons to raise money for leukemia. So locally that did help me raise money for leukemia. But, you know, I left that job. I worked at the same radio station, WHOK-FM, here in the Columbus, Ohio market for 16 years as a DJ. And I left that job. But what it did help me with is, as the year progressed, having been behind a microphone as a professional disc jockey, on-air personality, I did probably 50 or 60 television, newspaper, and radio and internet interviews throughout that year. So I can stand behind a microphone or be in front of a camera and feel at ease and promote my mission that year. And that really, really was a big help.
Okay. Well, that's really awesome. So now with this book, what was the purpose for writing the book, Running for Their Life?
Well, you know, as I had traveled around America, Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii, where I ran my marathons that year, I kept a daily journal about the crazy experiences of the year, the amazing experiences, and the wonderful people and places I was able to meet and go to. So when the year was over, I sat down and wrote that book about, you know, it was basically a rehashing of the year of running, but there's a deeper message to my book called Running for Their Lives, and that's spelled T-H-E-I-R because I ran for other people's lives. In that, sure, the book talks about all of the esoteric of running. Oh, you know, my pace was, you know, 9:15 per mile, and I ran a 4:02 marathon, and, you know, my left knee was aching a little bit, blah, blah, blah. But the real key here is, reflects on my personal motto of ordinary people can accomplish extraordinary things. I want people to read my book, and when they turn that last page and close the cover, realize that, wait a second, you know, Carl, if he being an ordinary runner, can accomplish something extraordinary like this, why can't I take my greatest dream or goal or desire and do the same thing? You know, you don't have to be a runner. It could be you want to climb Mount Everest, or you want to be an Olympic snowboarder, or you want to win the state title as a high school track runner. You know, you maybe, you know, at the beginning we're considered, oh, I came into this world, I'm just an ordinary person. But we all have that passion, that extraordinary lying deep within us. And that's one of my current teachings as a life coach is unleash your champion from within. You can do it. That's the message of my book, that you can unleash your champion. You can unleash that extraordinary that lies deep within you. You can do it. You can do it.
Exactly. It's all about that tough of mind. And I feel at this instance, even if you're sick, know that your body will heal itself. You got to know that this is this universe who is really controlled by. It's controlled by God. He got your back. Like I always say, he always have your back. Now, when you're going into these marathons, how much money is really put into them?
Well, you mean during my year of running the 52?
Yes, sir.
Well, I raise quite a bit of money for leukemia, but I also use quite a bit of my own personal money. It's called equity line of credit on my home that I used to own. So that helped. I dropped about $35,000 of my own money to do it. But I was sponsored by Power Bar, a grocery store chain, Kroger Food and Drug, pledged $5 per mile for 52 marathons, which was phenomenal. All that money went to leukemia research. But the expense, you know, of what I did was mainly for hotels, and gasoline and entry fees. But the really beautiful thing was before I went into the town where I was going to do a marathon, I would call or email or write to the race directors and say, hi, can you, here's what I'm trying to accomplish for leukemia. Can you help me find a hotel or stay with somebody for free? Can you waive my entry fee? And many, many of them did. Not all of them did. So that was really beautiful that I got a lot of help from so many wonderful people during the year because they believed in what I was doing to raise money and help find a cure for leukemia.
See, people support you when you're out there doing good. If you're doing bad, nobody's not thinking about that. But, see, you was willing to give back, and you took out your own personal time to do this. So that's great, people actually supporting you. God bless. Now,
thank you.
You're welcome, Carl. What goes through your mind before running these marathons?
You go, oh, my God, I'm doing it again? Oh, man. Okay, let's go. I'm ready. The starting gun goes off. Okay, let's rock and roll. Let's do this. Okay. You know, it's just kind of, at that point, you know, I was so prepared to do it. You know, it wasn't like I went into this unprepared. So, you know, once that starter's gun goes off, you're totally into it. You know, you're just out there enjoying the situation. And it's hard. Every single time it's hard. But you know what? You're there and you're doing it.
I love the way he said, oh, I'm doing it again. Lord, have mercy. But you know that you got to go on here to do it. And that's what we were talking about earlier. You just got to have to push yourself. It's a mental thing. You got to actually make yourself do this. And you can't give up once you start. Can't just say, oh, I'm done. That's it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So now you got into law of attraction. How did that come about?
Well, you know, I think that's a real personal evolution on my part. You know, I've been for decades what I call a disciple of positive possibility power thinking. And, you know, it started way back when I started reading Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, the father of positive thinking, his book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and followed up with all the other people, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, got into people like Dr. Robert Shuler and Joel Osteen and Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Anthony Robbins and on and on and on. All these people who are helping produce a positive, enlightening, awakening change in the world. Awakening, as Anthony Robbins' book is called, Awaken the Giant Within, kind of reflects on my Unleash Your Champion. And so it was a natural progression for me to be attracted to the law of attraction. which is described as the most powerful law in the universe. And the simplest definition of the law of attraction is like attracts like. And how that affects you, as I mentioned earlier, how powerful our thoughts are, is what you think and dwell upon on a regular basis, whether it's conscious or subconscious, whether it's good or bad, is attracted into your life via the law of attraction. And so once you understand that, oh, my gosh, you know, if I keep dwelling on oh, man, I hope I don't get the flu. I hope I don't get the flu. Oh, I hope I don't get the flu. Well, you got to remember the law of attraction is completely objective. So all the law of the universe hears is the flu. Flu. Wait, she's saying the flu. Okay, let's send her flu, you know. So that's how I ended up in the law of attraction.
Wow. How does it play into your running?
Well, it's always played into my running, again, you know, even whether I understood it or not, you know, again, because, you know, it's always been around. So let's use the example of, again, why I wasn't injured for the whole year, even though at the time in 96, 97, I hadn't even heard about the law of attraction, but I was already thinking and dwelling upon that thought. Injury's not an option. Injury's not an option. Injury's not an option. And you know what? As I said, I wasn't injured. And to this day, I'm rarely ever sick. You know, occasionally I will get a cold. I've been a runner for 35 years, and I'm one of the few runners I know has never had a major injury, because I still, every day, now I say injury and illness are not an option. Injury and illness are not an option. That's the law of attraction. Perfect example, thinking and dwelling upon it with your powerful, powerful, very real thoughts, and the universe keeps sending more excellent health and injury-free days to me.
Exactly. And, I mean, this is really, the law of attraction is, it's the most powerful law in the universe, whether people realize it or not. And you have to actually take a look at your life, and you probably feel most of the time that you're really happy, and some areas of you are not so happy, and you might even believe you're a victim of circumstances, but let me tell you, out there, listeners, you're not a victim. It's simply just a matter of understanding how to play this game of life, and you got to understand these rules out here. You do, and people fail to believe that, and one thing I like about you, Carl, because you believed in yourself, and that's what you have to do. You got to believe in yourself, and the universe will believe in you, I believe, and with the law of attraction, you will get what you want and desire.
And you nailed it right on the head with that. And here's a real key to this. Once you come to a true understanding of how the law of attraction is the most powerful law in your life, once you have that understanding, and when you catch yourself with a thought that, you know, that is in a negative realm with negative energy, you understand it. Now you can say, wait a second, that's not what I really want. You have choice now. I know. Okay, let's just move my thought over to what I really do want, a positive, productive, loving, healthy, beautiful thought. And see, the problem is people who don't understand that, they just continue to think negative things. They think that's normal. Oh, you know, geez, I hope I don't get in a car accident. You know, I hope Joey gets home without getting in a car accident, whatever. They keep thinking that. But with the understanding of how the law of attraction works, now you have the power and the ability to switch your thoughts on a dime. And I call it pivoting. You can immediately turn your thoughts to what you really do want and keep them there, and then the universe sends you more what you really do want.
Exactly. You have to. You got to go out there and get it. And one thing about the law of attraction is just simple. It's simply put just like this, like attracts like, and misery attracts misery. And if you focus on what you really need to focus on, you draw to you. You got to focus, you're attracting to you what you want. When you are focused on what you do not want, you're attracting to you what you do not want. And that's why I don't try to hang around people who are miserable, because they'll bring you down. I don't like misery, so I don't try to attract that. That negative energy could stay to the left or to the right.
And you know, that's a good point, too, because, you know, it's hard to not be around negative people in your life, especially like people in your family, like you might see on an Easter holiday. You know, you might have an aunt that's constantly negative, or even, you know, a spouse or a mother or something. And, you know, you just can't get away from it, or especially at work. There's always seemingly some negative coworker that you can't escape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Carl, you hit it on the dot, Carl. It'd be so many negative people on the job, and you just hear them complaining. And I always tell my guests this about my coworkers. When they start there, I'd be really want to tell them, go grab a psychiatrist and lay on the couch and tell them all your problems, because I am not a psychiatrist.
Well, you know, the real key here with people like that is you may not be able to escape away from them, but you don't have to put your attention on what they're saying. Since you now understand how the law of attraction works, where you place your thoughts is going to be attracted to you, you can say, okay, that's what they're doing, but, you know, I just not going to, that's not part of my realm. You know, they may be over there chatting up all the negative, bad influences, but I know what's real for myself here in the law of attraction in my universe, and then you continue to focus on what really works for you. And you know what happens? Those people who are negative influences in your life, at some point, whatever the reason, everything comes together in the universe, then they leave your life. They're not there anymore, you know.
But you know, sometimes you can sabotage yourself. You can sit there and say, oh, I want this new car, but then you say, I can't afford it. So in essence, you're basically saying, wait a minute, now he says he can't afford it. So you stop in that energy flow. But
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've been focused on wanting more money for years, and I don't know. Maybe I'm sabotaging myself because I'm wondering why it hasn't come to me. Maybe I'm not doing something right, or maybe I'm not being focused enough.
Well, and you mentioned the subconscious earlier, and you know, that's a real key. And that is a hard area for so many people because it's called the subconscious for a reason. We're not conscious of it, but here's a real picture of how that works. You know, if you think of a glacier out in the ocean, what you see above the water is actually only 2% of that entire mass. You know, the other 98% of that glacier is underwater. So if you picture your subconscious, you're 2% above your neckline in your conscious world. That's your consciousness. The other 98% of your thoughts is in the subconscious, and that's the driving force. And when you understand that is a real key. And you hit it also on the head there. You know, you may say, I want a new car in your conscious mind, but 98% of your subconscious is saying, well, nobody in our family's ever been rich. You know, you'll never have that money. And you have to really look deep and understand that and switch that around.
Okay. I think I understand you now, Carl. So basically, by me saying I want more money, I have to change my thinking pattern too, and my feelings, because sometimes I could probably say it too out of anger, and that could stop a lot of your blessings. I want more money because you're tired of always being broke, or you can't afford this or that. So okay, I do understand you, and that's what our friend James Gore tried to teach me too as well. It's all about your thinking and your feeling pattern.
So I do understand. And you know, James Goy Jr. is awesome. I mean, James, I think I mentioned to you in an email, James, a friend of mine. And
yes.
I've been to San Diego where James lives, and he and I met at the end of the Ocean Beach Pier at sunrise twice, and we had a couple-hour-long conversations. And, boy, I know you've had James on, and James is right on it, the author of the book, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power, and I'm glad you brought him up. He's an amazing, amazing man.
Yes, awesome. He's awesome, and I mean, we go through it so much, but we just forget to slow down and just take your time and think. We want everything to be in a hurry, oh, it's got to come quick to me, and it doesn't work like that. And I myself, I'm guilty of it too. It's not going to work like that for us. You have to take your time and think. You got to keep a positive attitude, and that's so true. Regardless if we believe in the law of attraction or not, I just think that basically you have to keep God first in your life. You got to keep faith, and you have to stay positive. Being negative all the time not going to get you anything. But
and the biggest problem is the world thinks that negative thinking is reality. And, you know, if you start talking to people about positive thinking and all that, they go, yeah, but that's not real. Well, why do they think that? Just turn on the news and it's all negative. You know, my opinion is, why can't positive thinking be reality? You know, the world is just so steeped in negativity that, well, that's reality. No, not necessarily.
Oh, it's not. I don't feel that life is worth it when you got all that negative stuff. That shouldn't even be, to me, it shouldn't even be an option to have negative thinking.
Right. But, you know, I'm going to go back for a moment on that where you said, you know, we all want what we want, and we want it now. Well,
yes.
If you've been, let's say you're 50 years old, but for the last 45 years you've been dwelling, if but even subconsciously, in a negative place, you know, oh, my family's never had money. I've never had any money. Yeah, I mean, this is all subconscious. You've had all these paradigms, all these beliefs and judgments pounded into you by your family and teachers and employers and friends, and you can't, because everything is energy and you're vibrating in this place of lack of abundance for decades, you know, you expect in the next week or the next month to immediately switch that energy. No, you have to continually vibrate, continually think in that positive realm of abundance and joy and health and goodness. Here's a great example of that. You know, before there were push-button radios where you could just push a button and go from one frequency to the other, the old-style radios used to have tuning knobs. And so if you were at 88.7 FM, but you wanted to go with a 107.9 at the exact opposite of the frequency, you had to turn a dial slowly and slowly until you got to that frequency way up at 107.9. It took time, but that is a great example where it takes time to change your frequency of thought. And by being persistent of dwelling and thinking positively, consciously, and subconsciously on what you really do want, then you get to that place.
Exactly. And so I just feel that if you're thinking a negative thought, then you're on your own, because you're disconnected from the source of energy, and usually it's felt as a pull away from your wholeness, and all that stress starts coming in for the emotional suffering, so it's not really good.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree. Yeah. Everything you can call, everything that James have told me on my show, I agree with. So how...
Right.
People actually incorporate your message into their life?
Well, here's a great way to do this. You know, decide what you want. You have to get out a pen and paper, and I recommend using a pen and paper rather than just typing it into your computer or your, you know, what you want. There's a lot of power in writing it. First of all, sit down. Take some quiet time, get away from all the distractions, and do a little meditation with a pen and paper in front of you on what you really want. What are your greatest aspirations, greatest dreams and goals? And first of all, visualize them in your head. Use high-definition visualization in your own mind in a quiet spot and see what you really want. Then write them down. And then once you have them written down, speak them out loud. So the combination of visualizing, writing, and speaking out loud what it is you really want has great power. And in that power, and it's all energy, you're bringing yourself into more and more vibrational alignment with what you really do want, and that law of attraction is right there. So, okay, this is what he really wants. You know, let's bring that to him. But here's a real key. Once you do this, and I learned this in coaching many of my clients that as a life coach, and I also learned this with myself, most of us don't feel worthy of having our greatest dreams and goals. And when you realize it, you go, how is that possible? But it goes back again. We've had society and family and employers and friends telling us for decades, you can't do this. No, that's not right. That's not what society expects. No, 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 you can't do that. That's all we've ever heard. And so when it comes time to face and you have the opportunity to have what you really want, a dream or a goal, a lot of people back off because they don't feel worthy and they don't even understand. And I just had a good example of this with myself in my own life. A while ago, I moved to Hawaii, and it was a dream of mine for a long, long time, but I came back. And a lot of people said, why were you, you know, it's 0 degrees and it's snowing here. Why were you back? And I finally realized it myself that I didn't feel worthy of having my greatest dream and goal. And so you have to feel worthy. You have to write that down. I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy of having my greatest dreams, aspirations, goals, and desires. And that is a real key. So to do it.
Right. I agree. Yes. I would totally have to agree with that one as well. You got to eliminate the habits of the negativity, the judgment, all them complaints, people who trying to put bad stuff in your path. You got to let it go, especially your past. People love to throw that up so much, but you can't. One thing I always learn, do not go back. That's the message today. Remind yourself today, listeners, because Colin and I are here to tell you, do not go back.
Mm-hmm.
The message you send out to that world, that's the message you will receive and return. So let's get off. If you're filled with negativity, unfortunately, that indicates you're not ready to accept that success in your life that you really desire. So in order for you to accept it, you write cards. You got to say you're worthy. You're worthy of the happiness. You're worthy of having that fulfillment in your life. And you got to repeat that over and over and over again, because people out here, some people are for you. Some people are not for you. There are people who will pray for you, some who don't care. And that's one thing my coworker taught me, too, Carl. She said, quit telling people about what you're trying to do with your radio show. Quit telling them that this is what you want to do, because a lot of people are not going to be for you. They probably right now saying, I wish you'd go somewhere and shut up and sit down. I'm tired of hearing that.
You're right on that. You know, and there's something else that about worthiness. I want you to understand, I want each and every one of you listening to understand that when you were born into this world, that worthiness was pre-installed by our Creator, by your Creator, by our Source. You came into this world with this worthiness, but we've forgotten it. Because of all those things we've learned over our lifetime, you know, we don't feel worthy. But you came into this world with that champion within inside of you, that inherently born passion that you have to create something in this world that you may not even be able to express yet, but you'll find out at some point in your life. You are worthy.
Yes, you are. Now, Carl, because I'm feeling really motivated.
Tell us about
this. I am. This is exciting because, like I always tell everybody, no matter what I talk about, God always plays a part in, because it's all universe. The running, He plays a part in it. You could talk about cars. He always come up in my subject. Look how we start talking about marathon, but now we get to law of attraction, and then it leads to God. So that's what I love about my show. It always is so powerful and spiritual. But call now. Tell us about your Kickstarter campaign.
Well, you know, actually, I'm surprised that you brought that up, because I was going to do I had been offered to do a radio show on the largest internet radio market called Voice America, not Voice of America, Voice America, to do a talk show on what we're talking about. And they wanted a startup fee, to pre-production fee for that, which Kickstarter is what they call a crowdfunding campaign, where you can go on Kickstarter.com and come up with what you want to accomplish and create a video and the whole thing, and people actually can pledge money to help you achieve your goal and dream. And that actually is done with. That it didn't happen. And you know what? I realized that I didn't put enough of myself into it. I wanted to do it, but for whatever the reason at the point, it wasn't. I didn't throw enough passion and energy into it, and I may have the opportunity to do that again. But, you know, for people who have a big dream, too, and you need some capital to do something, Kickstarter.com is a great way to achieve that. Let's say you need $10,000 to produce a movie or a play that you wrote. You can do it on Kickstarter.com.
Oh, wow. And that's really good, too. That is. And, I mean, you're the living proof, like I said before, and you're doing it for a good cause. Because there are so many people out here who need that help. We're still looking for medical assistance for all these different types of diseases out here and cancer. So that's really good, Carl, that you started this on this path for this cause.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, Carl. I mean, you're an inspiration to me and other people out here to do it. I mean, I want to tell you,
you are too. Simply, you know, you will never know how much positive good you have done just by putting on this radio show, this podcast. I'm sure what you are doing with this is so far-reaching beyond anything that you'll ever even know, and I honor you for doing this show.
Thank you so much for that compliment, because I do. Sometimes I have my downs, but I try to always lift myself up, and that's what I try to do for my children, my husband. Just keep lifting us up in here, because the devil is so powerful. He will destroy you. That's all he comes to do is destroy. And I have to tell him, you are a lie. And that's what it's called. You're not going to destroy this family. And you just have to, like you say, you got to stay prayed up. You got to know that you're worthy. You got to believe in God to know that you're worthy. Have a pure heart. Make sure that you're cleansed inside and out. But, Carl, let me ask before we even get off the air, what is your website and how people can go about getting your book?
Well, my website is my Law of Attraction coaching website, and that is CarlGruberLifeCoach.com. Carl is spelled with a K. Gruber is G-R-U-B-E-R. So just CarlGruberLifeCoach.com. And they can actually go to that website, and there's a little header there that says Running for Their Lives, which is my book. They can click on that. It'll take them to a page with links to Amazon.com, to my publisher's website, where they can buy my book. It's available in ebook form. It's available in softback and hardback. They can click on it and do that. Even on my homepage, they can actually click on a little box and download the first chapter of my book for free. I have Carl Gruber Life Coach Facebook page. I even just joined Twitter, which I see. Thank you for becoming one of my followers yesterday. I saw you did that. I finally gave in and joined Twitter. And so people can come, I believe I'm just at KW Gruber is my Twitter moniker, and Facebook. And so, yeah, it would be awesome. I have a YouTube channel out there, which I haven't explored deeply yet. But, yeah, I would love to have people come and visit my Facebook page or my website, CarlGruberLifeCoach.com.
Oh, and it's yes, it's hard to really get people to stay focused with you on Twitter. That I think that's the hardest social media, because it's so short, and it only gives you just a few words to say, unlike Facebook. Well, when people follow me now, I just try to thank them, reach out, hey, thank you for following me. And that's a good advice for anybody who's trying to start up anything. Always thank your followers, because it's so quick to lose them just in the heartbeat. Okay, well, she's not interested, so I'm not going to follow her. But I do thank you so much for being on this show with us.
Oh, what a pleasure. I've really, really been excited about this, and thank you again. I really enjoyed it, and again, you're doing a wonderful thing with this show.
Well, thank you, Carl, and I hope all you listeners out there, you follow call on Twitter, get his book, Get Up Today. That's why I'm going to tell you, get up today, and you can do this. Give everything you got to achieve your goals and never accept defeat. That's what this show is all about. We're not accepting that. We're not taking no for it. But once again, Carl, thank you, and you have a blessed one. Happy Easter to you and your family.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Happy Easter to you and everybody. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, Carl. I appreciate all my listeners out there who listen, and thank you for tuning into my chat box. You know I am always looking for your comments, your requests. I'm checking you out on Facebook and Twitter, so don't think I'm ignoring you. If I haven't reached out to you, I will be. And, of course, I'm still running my contest to May the 30th, and I will pick my fan out of that, and I will be sending you a special gift. So don't think that Technisha is not listening to you at all. Now, coming up tomorrow, we will have John Stryver, and he will be one of my special guests. Now, as a matter of fact, let me see. John will be discussing. Hold on one second. Let me see, because I like to make sure I'm specific. I try to keep everybody in line for you guys. So, John, let me see. Let me pull his information up. Give me one second. Okay, let's see, John. Okay, let's see, John. Okay, hold on. Okay, that's right. John is a entrepreneur, and he's really one of the guys for starting up your own business and making your product a national brand. So he's one of those type of guys. So I hope that all my entrepreneurs will definitely tune in for that tomorrow. Yes. Yes. And also he started a television show called Products in the News, which is designed to help companies get their product on national TV. So definitely, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to create something out there and you want to get into it, because he's also he was affiliated with Video Professor, too. So definitely tune in for that tomorrow. I'm sorry I wasn't too prepped up. I try to be prepped up on the information with my guest on my show. But definitely tune in for that at 12 o'clock p.m. tomorrow. And I do thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Your support means so much to me because I have to start somewhere, and your dedication to listen to my show is really a whole lot to me. But thank you. Happy Easter to you and your family. Go out there and believe that you could do anything that you put your mind to it. There is no such thing as defeat. So understand that, and God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.